Hello and welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about the trailer for Avengers The Age of Ultron, the movie. Yes, we're going to do a whole episode on a movie trailer. We've done it before, we'll do it again.
And we'll probably do it twice more.
You'll of course know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Hulkbuster, yes!
But as always, we're going to start by going through the solicitations. We got some Abrams Star Wars art posters. Let's see, here we got some Rachel Rising from Abstract Studio. I don't even know what this is.
I my eyes went to the first title underneath Amigo Comics.
Amigo, Beast Commandos, number 1 of 4.
Yeah, and one of the line they use in the advertising there is like, don't you miss all the nonsense from the 90s? And it's like, you know what? I kind of do.
Oh, fuck this. It's got street sharks.
It's got a shark, a baboon, a walrus, a killer whale, a rhinoceros, and...
Original character alert.
I'm just saying.
You'll have a shell of a time. Wait a minute.
Jossum! Okay, I'm sorry. But no, I'm just saying I think I'll at least pick up that first issue if my store gets it, just, you know, nostalgia.
All right, moving on. We got some Gold Digger Halloween Special 2014. We got some Mega Man, some Sonic for those furries out there. We got Sonic. We got Guile must be in the house, because there's lots of Sonic Boom here.
There's no Rising Justice.
All right, so we got Aspen Comics with all new Soulfire number 8. Where everybody tries to draw like Michael Turner.
Yeah. I do like the title for all the kids under Argosy Communications, Spider Satan's Murder Machine Smilodon soft cover. Try saying that 5 times fast.
No. Moving on, we got some Avatar Press with God is Dead and Uber, both titles I do not pick up. We got...
You don't read Crossed Badlands?
We also have Big Finish Production, Doctor Who. We have, let's take a look here. We got some Simpsons Comic Explosion number 1 from Bongo Comics. Boom Studio has some Adventure Time. Come on, grab your friends. Honestly, I really don't see anything I would pick up this week just yet. We got some Dark Horse Comics. Conan the Avenger number 7. Does that make the first Avenger?
The first Avenger, Gru versus Conan, which I'm just waiting for the trade on that because that's not something I read in single issue.
That's a style mismatch if I ever saw one. We got some DC Comics here with Moving On. We got some Dynamite Comics here with Alice Cooper number 1. School's out for the summer. We got
Bob's Burton. They're making a Bob's Burgers comic? Really? I did not know that.
I have no idea why. Moving on, we got Purgatory with an I. Don't know why.
Because Diamond has the Chaos Comics characters franchise now.
Ah.
So they...
Oh, it looks like a succubus. But, okay, moving on. We got Fantastic Graphic Books. We got some Peanuts collections, always worth picking up. Some Donald Duck
and Uncle Scrooge. Yeah, I've seen Don some of those
Rosa
collections.
Library, Uncle Scrooge. Those are worth getting. Those are worth getting. We got.
That's what I've heard.
We got some Heavy Metal Magazine 271. That's run by Ninja Turtle. You know, we only have some IDW with. Cartoon Network Super Secret Crisis War number 5 of 6. That sounds as horrible as it's. Yeah, it is.
I'm gonna say I've been enjoying it, but they should have just made like a direct to DVD movie and saved the time. Save some paper.
This is. I mean, you know what? It wasn't good when Bleedman did it, so don't do it again. We got the. Transformers, which are truly more than meets the eye.
Oh, God. You had to say it, didn't you? You just had to say it, Ben.
Three times. Because he repeats it to himself. Anyways, we got the Marvel comics here. Not a fan of how they put a period at the end of the MC2 universe in the latest Amazing Spider-Man.
Take
the one universe where Peter retired happy, married to Mary Jane, and blow it the fuck up. And then turn May Day into a brooding, dark, angsty character. No thanks.
No. I wasn't happy about that either, because the MC2 universe, like, I collected most of that stuff just because it's like I've said it before in the show, and I've said it again. The 90s, it was just a lot of fun in comics. They might not always have worked, but why not? Let's see what else we got. The Axis spinoff titles are beginning. We got Axis Carnage, Axis Revolutions.
If I remember recently, there was a recent book where Magneto killed the current Red Skull, which only just released the Red Onslaught.
Yeah, and then apparently he didn't completely bash his head in because the Red Skull's still alive somehow. And it's all in, because apparently they're doing Axis in books. So, like, book one was like the
first issues. Oh my god, that's how they're going to do a reboot. That's how they did the soft reboot earlier with the fucking Onslaught.
Yeah.
Fuck.
They're going to Heroes Reborn this bitch.
Fuckity fuck fuck fuck. That bankrupted Marvel in the 90s.
Well, literally. You know, Rob literally. Liefeld needs work. I don't know how he's going to get it from Marvel, but, you know. Let's see what else we got. The new Guardians of the Galaxy's coming out, which finally they're revealing what happened at the end of the Thanos Imperative, so we know what happened to Richard Rider, and it's about damn time. It's only 2 years later, you know.
Well, some comics don't have a resolution for 10 years, 20 years. Like, what happened to the fourth Skrull?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Thanks, Ben. I'm going to end up rabbit-holing tonight trying to figure that out.
You remember that, don't you?
Yes, I do. Let's see what else we got. A reprinting of Hawkeye versus Deadpool Zero already?
They don't print a lot of those, so let's see here. We got some Oni Press here. We got we got Rebellion with Judge Dredd Year One, soft cover. We got
Atomic Robo and the Knights of the Golden Circle 5 from Red 5, which, seriously, if you're not reading Atomic Robo, you're doing yourself a disservice, because that is a great book.
We got, let's scroll down a little bit more here. We got, don't really care for Walking Dead. We got, more Doctor Who from Titan Comics. We got, Archer and Armstrong from Valiant. The death-defying Dr. Mirage.
And how is Dr. Mirage death-defying?
I don't know. It's just a cool title. I mean, sounds it, from reading the solicitation, it's more like a Hellraiser style book than a. I thought it'd be more like a magician book, but reading the solicitation, it sounds more like a Hellraiser style book. Which isn't a bad thing, mind you. I like some Hellraiser now and then. We got...
You like to raise some hell?
Got some Yen Press with manga we've already read 5 months ago. And JT's favorite.
Zenoscope. I read it for the story. No, you don't.
And when we come back, we will have more of the story.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good grief.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back to talk about the trailer for Avengers: The Age of Ultron. So, first of all, some things to know is... In the comics, Ultron was a creation of Hank Pym, Ant-Man, Giant-Man, Goliath, Yellow Jacket, Wasp, whatever he feels like today. And the suit itself, you know, the computer program itself was based off his own brainwaves when he was an unstable person. And the first thing Ultron did was erase, you know, Pym's memory of Ultron existing, and then, you know, stayed in the background for a couple years before it brainwashed Jarvis, the Avengers butler, to attack them as the Master of Evil.
Is that how it happened?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. That being said, the... the new incarnation of Ultron is not created by Hank Pym, although Hank Pym will show up in the Ant-Man movie in, a year or two from now, and Ultron is an old peacekeeping program that some piece of tech that Tony finds probably in the remains of S.H.I.E.L.D. or wherever S.H.I.E.L.D. is by the point the movie comes out, because Lord knows what was left behind after Captain America, Winter Soldier, and what goes on in the current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, basically, Tony does his thing, oops, and Armageddon, right on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And it appears in the trailer that the whole Ultron initiative or program is based off the idea of having all these Iron Man-like suits, similar to the House Party protocol, just going around doing peacekeeping.
Could be assumed, yes.
And you have the scene where what looks like a really, really creepily mangled Iron Man suit.
That's kind of been cobbled together with other Iron Man suits.
With the Avengers logo on its chest. You know, and by the way, I heard that scene was done with a real prop held up with strings to give that hobbled look.
And if that is how they did it, that was brilliantly done.
And this Ultron, you know, he says that the Avengers want to save the world, but they don't want to change it. And as we know, Ultron wants to destroy all human life.
And this one, I think, from watching the trailer and knowing the comic history and various other, you know, evil robots / AI, I think it's, I would guess he comes around to the whole wiping out humanity because he's going to save humanity from itself sort of mentality.
Save the Earth by destroying humanity.
Yeah, you burn the village in order to save it sort of thing. And not the least of which that is adding to the creep factor in here is James Spader's voice. Like, James Spader just has this brilliant, like, monotone, quality to his voice, and then he gives it like inflections. Like, he knows how to work his voice, and that's why, like, you hear some like digital, you know, enhancements to make it sound more robotic, but it, there's not that much there. So the menace that you hear from the words that Ultron speaks in this trailer, it's like 90% Spader.
And I like this Ultron because, you know, most people know, you know, most people hear in their head a screaming Ultron because he's drawn with a perma open mouth in the comics and always all caps, you know. So you always, when you read the comics, you hear like a, you know, a screaming voice, you know, a screaming almost like Dalek like, you know, voice.
Yeah.
But I like this subdued Ultron because Tony Stark, if he is the creator of Ultron, would not make a program that can't speak normally, because we already heard him make Jarvis, who speaks with a rather quaint British accent.
With just the right amount of dry, sarcastic wit. Like, what do you think, Jarvis? Much too ostentatious, sir. Ah, that's right. Throw some sheer Hot Rod Red on it. But yeah, and it's, it should be mentioned that Paul Bettany, who I can't recall the last movie I saw him in, he's the voice of Jarvis.
Yes, and he's also going to play Vision.
Yeah.
Which makes me think Jarvis is going to become Vision.
Well, why didn't you tell the people your methodology for that assumption, Ben? Because I like the way you told me, but I think you should tell the listeners.
Well, I imagine the movie's going to have a scene where Tony Stark is completely dejected because he created Ultron, and everyone's fucked. Like, seriously fucked. And Tony Stark has this moment where he says, everything I touch, you know, falls apart or is destroyed. And, you know, Jarvis says, well, you still have me, sir, and then uploads himself into Vision, the Vision body, and starts kicking ass.
Or Tony and Jarvis work together to create the Mark 85 or whatever, if it's based on an Iron Man chassis. Now my question is I don't think they've never really approached the whole in anything resembling intangibility as a superpower in any Marvel movie. So is it really going to be the Vision if he can't walk through walls?
Well, the Vision is more than his powers, I think.
Well, because I'm just saying that's like one of the core. That's kind of like Superman without flying. I'm just saying.
Well, if you ask John Peters, that flying shit was gay. But but what's not gay is having a giant mechanical spider in the third act. But I think the whole idea is if the Vision is, like, you know, because you have Ultron as the computer program, the AI that's gone wrong, you know, so you have to have the counterpoint, the AI that should be wrong but has gone right, because in the comics, the Vision was created by Ultron. In, you know, the Vision rebels against his creator to save humanity. So, you know, that's what I see here is doing something similar with, maybe Ultron sees Jarvis as a sibling creation and tries to tempt Jarvis. You know, lots of theories on a movie that's not even out yet, but, you know.
Yeah. What, I mean, other things besides Ultron in the trailer, although I think Ultron is the big thing that everyone's looking for, we also have potential new recruits for the Avengers.
Yes.
In Kick-Ass and the other Olsen sister, I mean Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch.
Well, they actually, you know what? If they don't have a scene as good as Time in the Bottle, then Quicksilver is going to be utterly, you know, not near as good. Well, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw from the trailer end of movie scene with Winter Soldier that Hydra,
he was spazzing out.
Well, he's spazzing out, but I mean, you see him like wicked fast moves, and then Wanda's like sitting there all like, you know, Brittany Murphy and I'll Never Tell or Don't Say a Word, whatever that movie was, looking all like just like, and she's using her powers to like morph this cube, and then it explodes. And yeah, so I mean, we got them, so they're gonna be in there. What else was there? We saw Rhodey's in the movie, so we may get some War Machine with Avengers, which I hope it's still the Iron Patriot armor. And then he walks up to Cap, and Cap's like, "Nice suit." Or something like that.
I hope it's the Iron Patriot armor, and Cap makes him walk through something that like degausses the paint off of it and says, "Oops, I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just yeah."
Or just a callback to the first Avengers movie, and it's like it seems to run on some form of electricity. No, it would be cool if War Machine shows up. I read an article today because it. For like split second blink and you miss it, there's a scene of this woman standing next to Thor, and everyone's trying to figure out who this other woman is. And that so far, what people have been able to figure out, it's a Korean actress, no idea whether she's a hero or a villain. Although some people are saying that she's going to end up playing Monica Chang, who is a SHIELD agent in the Ultimate Marvel Universe before they. Well, when I say they bring her over to the regular Marvel Universe, it's not like she. Transposed from the Ultimate Marvel U to 616. It's just there's this other woman named Monica Chang, and she too is a SHIELD agent. So you see what happens there. But I think Ben and I, there's one thing that we saw that we both squealed like 10-year-old boys when we saw it. Yes. It's like Tony Stark. Yeah, wait. Let me put on my clothes, you know. And that's like the best thing. Like we're talking off air, and Ben mentioned this. You clearly see that this is like, it's like armor for Iron Man's armor, because you see it like forming and building around Tony as he suits up in it before him and the Hulk. We're gonna have Hulkbuster versus Hulk in the movie, which is another thing I'm looking forward to. What did I say? It's like the design of this armor is very reminiscent of the version of Hulkbuster armor you saw in the 90s Iron Man cartoon, and had also appeared a few times in the 90s era Iron Man comics. And it doesn't look as...
The funny thing about the Hulkbuster armor in the comics is it's called the Hulkbuster, but the truth of the matter is that's because the Hulk likes to bust it down. Once has Tony Stark beaten the Hulk with the Hulkbuster. If anything, he's only been able to fight a delaying action until the Hulk decides, okay, this is enough, and peels the armor off of Tony like a cheap tin can.
Oh, yeah. But it's so definitely looking forward to that. We, of course, got the great Mark Ruffalo is back to play Bruce Banner Hulk again.
The only good one.
You know. I liked Ed Norton in Incredible Hulk. I mean, it was... what he did was good. I mean, whatever. I don't even know. I've seen a couple of
articles. Yeah, when he gets angry, he turns into Tyler Durden.
Yeah. Hey, Brad Pitt, where'd you come from? So, you know, it's looking good. I mean, and this is only a teaser trailer. The thing is, and this is just a quick aside from the Avengers 2 trailer discussion, is I remember when teaser trailers were maybe a minute long, and it was literally a teaser trailer. I mean, just for an example, there was like the Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, where the whole trailer is it fades in a lightning storm in the cemetery. And you go through the fence, you see the Jason Voorhees tombstone, this bolt of lightning hits it, it explodes, and the coffin sits up through the ground, and it opens up real slow, and there's no body. And that's a teaser trailer. And it's like a minute max. The teaser trailer we got here, this is a full goddamn trailer. It was almost 3 minutes long. And it leaked early. And, you know, whenever they say something leaked early, I say bullshit. The trailer leaked early the way the Flash and Constantine TV pilots were accidentally leaked. I call shenanigans.
Yes.
I'm just saying. But, I mean, yeah, it's like we got all the Avengers back, you know, Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner. Even Nick Fury's going to show up here at some point.
Yes.
Although it probably
wearing a cap.
Yeah. Colby Smulders is back as Maria Hill. Like we said, we got James Spader as Ultron, which, god damn, I love his voice work in this because I've been digging The Blacklist, and he is nothing if not magic on that show. And we got Kick-Ass, like I said. Aaron Taylor-Johnson is Quicksilver. Elizabeth Olsen is Wanda Maximoff. Paul Bettany is Vision. Apparently, we're going to have some flashbacks, and there's that blink you miss it where it looks like Cap's walking in World War II again. So, and it's been confirmed that there's going to be appearances by Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter.
Yes.
Baron, let's see here. It's Baron the Wolfgang von Starka. And it's going to see... I can't remember the name of the actor that's playing him. And film, there it is. Link, thank you, Wikipedia. It's being played by Thomas Kretschmann. Let's say that name five times fast. Let's see what he's been in. Stalingrad, The Pianist, Valkyrie, King Kong. He was Captain Englehorn from the Peter Jackson King Kong.
Yes.
So they got a solid cast going into this, I mean, from the trailer and all, but is there anything else you want to bring up about this, Ben?
This makes me really look forward to this movie because...
It sells it well.
Because the thing is they could have very easily have gone and done, like, an Iron Man 2, which was a safe sequel. And they went a little bit further, and they went a little bit harder and did something... That, you know, they're going with the three-act play where the second act is the darkest of the three-act play. And
like The Matrix, Empire Strikes Back.
I love Empire so much, I fuck it.
Two Towers, that sort of thing.
And what I liked about this was the use of I've Got No Strings from Pinocchio because... It turns it into a little bit of a creepy vibe to it, almost like a horror movie. You know, we know Joss Whedon loves doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's definitely when you get that first, like, you get the first kind of creep factor with Ultron, when you see him, like, hobbling in with, like, the one kind of gimped arm, and he's kind of patched himself together from, like, scrap in Tony's lab, and then he just kind of, like, decapitates that one Iron Man drone or whatever was lying on the floor there, and then you see him later on at the end of the trailer where the creep factor is only intensified by using a really eerie rendition of Got No Strings to Hold Me Down, like the Pinocchio song.
Yes.
Like very creepily being like almost hymn-like in quality. I don't know the proper word to describe that throughout the trailer. And then to hear like the Ultron, like when he pimps in and he kind of looks down in that really creepy tilt of his head and he says, "No strings on me." And I was just like, "Oh shit."
Oh, by the way, I have a theory of Ultron's origin.
What's that?
What is Tony Stark's first creation? Something that he has had around him and he has constantly given abuse with no thought.
Okay, I read that article. I read that article too, Ben. And no, I don't think Dummy is going to turn into. I don't think his robotic arm that sprayed him with the fire extinguisher in the first movie. I don't think Dummy is going to turn into Ultron. At the very least, Dummy is part of the construction of Vision in some respect. But I highly doubt he's going to become the terror of all mankind.
What would you do if it turns out that Dummy grew an AI and...
Was Ultron?
Yes.
If that was the actual thing in the theaters, I'd probably start laughing maniacally at that.
Okay.
Which is also like one of my favorite blinking you miss it scenes where Tony throws, did he throw the arc reactor or a screwdriver into the ocean at end of Iron Man 3?
He threw his arc reactor.
Yeah. So just that scene where he drives away and you see Dummy and the other one in the trailer hooked up to his car there. I was like, yes, they're still alive. They survived. I love that scene. But no, I am going to let you folks know I do not agree with Ben in any respect in that fan theory. Ultron is not dummy.
Okay.
I know that would make it really interesting. My theory, like, it's been said in some media that Tony is, he reactivates this old peacekeeping program, like some proprietary shield. Tony falls off the wagon, and while in that state, he goofs somewhere on that tech, and that's what happens, and that's how Ultron is born.
Hey, we have Pablo Prano joining us. We're talking about the trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron.
More like being abducted, but yeah, sure, guys. How are you doing, JD? Hi, Ben.
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I was stating a theory that I thought that what if Ultron started as a more menial invention of movie Tony Stark? Something that we've seen before. Something that he's given a lot of abuse, with no thought to its well-being. That is sitting there silently, even ever so loyal and faithful, until it decided it had enough. What if Ultron was dummy?
If Ultron was Tony?
Dummy.
You know, the robo arm that sprays Tony with the fire extinguisher in Iron Man 1 is the one he makes that whoo sound, and yeah, he gives him like the earth reactor.
So that there's a theory about Ultron being dummy?
Yes.
Really?
That's Ben's theory. I do not support it in any way.
I won't support it in any way either. First of all, one of the things that we got sort of teased because of the new synopsis is that Ultron is actually a dormant program, and given that they're actually looking for a young Michael Douglas lookalike, that means that they're probably going to go the Hank Pym origin. That only it's just like Hank Pym develops Ultron at first, but then sort of buries it down, like, oh no, this could be too dangerous or something. And then Todd finds it and then develops it into what eventually becomes Ultron by also mimicking some of the, you know, some of Tony's personality traits. And the other thing is that I would be more in favor of dummy being the Vision, actually.
Actually, we have a theory that Jarvis becomes the Vision because it's the same actor.
Yeah, that's the same actor. Yes, that's what I know.
Yeah.
Then again, it's just a man, that could happen.
Because the whole thing is, what's the, you know, who's the one that's always been with Tony by his side that would eventually, you know, would always side with Tony no matter what, even if dumped into another, into a robot body by Ultron?
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, and also, you know, we were talking about the Hulkbuster armor and how awesome it was in the trailer.
Oh, the Hulkbuster armor, yeah. I like it that, you know, there's even that enough, you know, it's a very good design. It's done so that you understand that Tony has his whole body inside the torso, and it's not like somewhere you would stretch your arms into the longer limbs that the Hulkbuster armor has.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah. Makes sense. That's usually a problem when people start making exo armor for armors.
Yes.
But it's been dealt with properly here.
Yeah. See, the one thing, I hadn't brought this up to Ben yet, the one thing that I'm wondering about in the trailer, or from the trailer, is what are they going to have, like, the super overprotective Big Brother syndrome with Quicksilver, and then you'll have, like, this very... like, obviously, you can see that one scene where Scarlet Witch comes out, and she's just, like, you know, chaos blast something, and she's all pissed off. Like, she's not going to be, like, the really sweet... Like, originally how Wanda's, like, really sweet and, you know, nice and everything. She's going to have this edge. Now, is it going to be, like, really super overprotective? Or is it going to be to the point of a certain characterization by a man who should not be named Jeff Loeb?
It wasn't Loeb who started that. That was actually Millar who started that back in Ultimates.
Yeah, but then Ultimates 3, Loeb all but said they were boning.
Ultimates
3 never happened. I know, Ben.
Was Loeb looking at Ultimates 1 and 2 and throwing it by the wayside and being like, fuck this, I want to have Hulk speaking ye old English because I'm a fucktard.
That and Scarlet Witch's mom has, well, she's got Gumby spines. Because that one guy, I really didn't need to see that. As much as I love Joe Matarita's art, it's just, wah. But anyway, back to, I'm glad they're going to have that in the movie. It's, I don't know, what do you think of them bringing in Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver like this, Pablo?
Well, it makes sense because they're mostly some of the Avengers-only characters somehow, you know. Characters that were basically grown and bred in the original Avengers comics. So it makes sense, you know, like Wonder Man should show up next or stuff like that. But
Wonder Man then would again, confuse people.
What?
Depending on how you do it. If you do a Wonder Man like this douchey movie star slash actor who happens to have superpowers and he grows a heart and becomes like the Wonder Man we know and love, I can see that working. But Wonder Man, I mean, for oh God, his story's so convoluted, I don't even know how to start, you know, thinning it out for a movie.
Well, it's just that it's still, and every character in the world is depending on how he is executed, how he or she is executed. You can do wonders with crappy characters, and you can do crap stories with great characters. We all know that. By the way, let's talk about Batman v Superman later. But the thing is that, again, I understand them wanting to use more Avengers characters being introduced exclusively to Avengers. But I, originally, myself, I wouldn't have gone for them. You know,
you wouldn't?
I wouldn't have gone for them. I understand why they're doing it, but I wouldn't have gone for them. I mean, it's also like, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in Age of Ultron. Like, a lot
you're
to tackle
with. You're afraid of information overload?
Not exactly information overload. I'm just afraid of plot overloads. Because sometimes, you know, they just saturate things. Like, I don't know. It can be done right, but it's a hard act to pull off. I am a big fan of Whedon, so I trust him with this. But, you know, it was just like when they did the first Avengers movie. It was like, oh, it's impossible. No one will pull it right. And then Whedon did. So now this is me saying, oh, but again, this is really hard to pull off. And then I believe now that he can pull it off right. But still, it's, I don't know, we've had a lot of samples of previous movies trying to add way too many characters, way too many plot lines in one movie, and fucking up. For example, X-Men The Last Stand. X-Men The Last Stand was, apart from all the other huge errors and mistakes and bad decisions that movie made, it felt like that was going to be the last movie ever, so they had to throw everything inside there. So you have the Dark Phoenix saga, you have so many things going on, you know, Magneto versus Xavier, the cure for the mutants. It's like way too many things, and then way too many characters, and then nothing done properly. Then again, that was Brett Ratner, but still, it was too much done poorly. But then you have other things that are done with a better measure, so I don't know, it's complicated, that's all. And that's the thing, I wouldn't have gone with, oh, let's introduce these two bold new characters in this new movie while adding this whole new threat, and while we're adding the interpersonal problems of already established characters and moving them a step forward while, you know, making it all blow up. It's like a lot, so you know, I wouldn't have gone with them. I would have maybe thrown the Falcon in it, and maybe War Machine.
Well, Rhodey is in it.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's like, again, that it makes sense to that we get to know more of these other characters that have been sort of left out in the other movies. Like, for instance, Hawkeye. Hawkeye and Black Widow were mainly characterized in the first movie. Black Widow mostly. But still, it's we didn't know close to nothing. You know, we knew close to nothing when it came to Hawkeye, and the movie established him, then make him an actual threat, and then, you know, sort of him redeem himself all in the course of the movie. So, you know, but at least we sort of had that very small cameo in Thor. But here it's like, you know, now we have two X-Men characters showing up. It's like, I don't know. Yeah.
But they can't be mutants.
Yeah. But there is one Easter egg in the thing that we missed then, and that's the blink and you miss it appearance of Andy Serkis with one of the most recognizable mutton chops in Marvel comic books history.
As a certain hoarder of vibranium.
Yeah. Which means that Black Panther should be nearby.
And maybe that's... Who's to say that maybe that'll be like the end credit, one of the end credit teasers, you know, Ulysses Claws in Wakanda. So yeah, we could have, you know, the Black Panther potentially show up. And just a quick question: who would you guys cast as Black Panther?
Well, you know what? It's going to sound really, you know, it's going to sound really, really silly, but I'm going to just say it. I know he's a little too old for it now, but I think that will make him work better as, like, an established older king. Gotta go Denzel.
Who?
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington?
He could be T'Chaka. Like I'm talking... Yeah. You can have Denzel as T'Chaka, and then you get somebody... I mean, they're pretty close in age already, but I would like to see Jaimon Hansu as... Black Panther.
You think Denzel's too old?
I'm not saying Denzel's too old. I think you need somebody that's like a little more spring in the step. I'm not saying that Denzel has lost a lot.
He's still an action star, man.
I'm not saying he's not. I just don't think he would be. Denzel would be awesome as T'Chaka. I just don't see him as T'Challa. That's why I'm saying like Jaimon Hansu, who he voiced T'Challa already in the 6-part Black Panther animated series that they had on BET a few years ago.
That was terrible, by the way.
Well, back in the day, before the Marvel Studios thing, there were talks for Black Panther.
Marvel doesn't use one person for two roles, though. He was already used. Sorry.
He has used people who have done Marvel roles somewhere else, you know, with Chris Evans.
Well, that's true, but Marvel Studios doesn't, you know, Marvel Studios movies doesn't cast one person as two different roles, and he was already pretty prominent as Koroth the Pursuer, so.
Yeah, he would have been great. Idris would have been great, but only he's, again, a bit more aged. And back in the day, would have gone with... Wesley Snipes for Robert back when he was still in Blade. He could have been a nice fit back then. Now I'm not sure because, again, Marvel has chosen pretty great African-American actors to play other roles out there, which actually weren't African-American, but they've done some great choices. I mean, Idris Elba, he kicks a lot of ass. But again, it's like, I haven't seen as many, you know, prominent action film prawn thespians that are, you know, fit for the role of T'Challa right now. None that come to my mind in particular at the moment.
We could luck out and get an unknown.
We could get a really well unknown. We could, or if we want to do it like a comedy role, we get Chris Rock.
Now, don't you just hate it when Ulysses Claw tries to steal my vibranium?
No, I don't see that. I could see Chris Rock showing up as...
You know who
I was just gonna say it.
He's way too short, though. He's a great actor, but he's too short for this role.
Yeah, Black Panther should be huge and imposing.
Omar Epps is a great actor, but he's too damn short.
Hmm. Oh, do we want to talk about tall castings? Benedict Cumberbatch has been announced as Doctor Strange. Or is in close final negotiations for that.
Love it. I'm sorry, it's like, I know there's like, what did they had like Jared Leto as Doctor Strange. It's like, maybe. Joaquin Phoenix, But when you look at like the old school, like Steve Ditko, Doctor Strange, and then you look that. Later on, and you look at Benedict Cumberbatch, like he has the right look, you know, yes. That like physically on people, like he looks like you give him the goatee, and the grandpa hair on the sides, you know, it's because
we can
like
also
that,
talk about. We can also talk about him acting. I mean, he can pull off large, made-up dialogue of mystical stuff.
Yes.
I mean, he has the acting chops.
Just imagine, Sherlock Holmes, by the hoary hosts of Hogoth, or he's calling upon the crimson bands of Sidorak. Like, I could see him saying that and me not laughing.
Yeah,
at
I agree
him
with that.
Dialogue like that. And I'm hoping with
you
the
know
Doctor
who they
Strange...
you know, if you're looking for a great voice to play Doctor Strange, doesn't matter how old he is, one of the greatest voices in the world, Tom Baker.
Wow.
That would be really good.
Right now he's a bit older, maybe. And I
but,
would have wished
but I think current. I came up with a I think I came up with another good fit for Black Panther. How do you feel about Morris Chestnut?
Who's Morris Chestnut?
Actor.
He yeah, but work. Give me a role or something. I'm not as familiarized with him.
Well, he's done a lot of, you know, quote unquote black comedies like Soul Food. He's currently on that show Legends with Sean Bean.
He was in Under Siege 2 Dark Territory.
I haven't seen him on anything. And let me check at least.
Have you ever seen the movie Half Past Dead with Steven Seagal?
Half Past Dead with Steven Seagal.
He was in lots of Steven Seagal movies.
Let me repeat his name, please.
Morris Chestnut.
Morris Chestnut. Let's see how
he
looks
the height. He has the height.
Now we got Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Who would you cast as the voice of Dormammu?
And I like he's no this guy. Longer with imposing and royal.
You like? Yeah. So now, you think more? So you think Morris Chestnut could be Black Panther?
Yes. I don't know how he acts, but
he's
he
good.
Does look the part?
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Like, I just. But to get back to my question, there, quick. Who would you cast as the voice of Dormammu? Now, my vote would go to Tony Jay.
Yes.
The voice of Megabyte from Reboot, but I don't think he's with us anymore. So unfortunately,
we'll just get Jim Cummings to do the voice.
Here's a question: Is Roscoe Lee Brown still above ground? The voice of Kingpin from the '90s Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, you know what? Just for a gag, I would say Ed Asner as Dormammu.
Dormammu?
Yes.
Okay. Who would you cast as Baron Mordo?
I would cast... It has to be someone who sounds like a preacher.
Yeah.
What?
I would go with Michael Parks. Michael Parks can make anything sound incredibly... serious and terrifying.
Yeah,
have you guys
it has
seen
to be
any
someone...
of the latest Kevin Smith movies? That guy made just hit the trailer for Tusk. Just him, you know, like growling, like mocking.
That
someone.
Would be so good.
Like I said, it has to be someone who because the thing is, when people usually cast and they make him like this, almost like a sniveling sidekick. But I see him as someone who's like a Southern Baptist preacher kind of guy. Not saying he's a Southern Baptist preacher, but I'm saying that's the kind of style I get from him because
he's got
that fire
in his.
Because he always is able to get people to follow him, so he has to be like charismatic as fuck, you know.
Okay, here's somebody that would bring like just incredible amounts of menace to the performance, Michael Ironside.
Oh,
nice. That'll be good, but let's see here. You know what? Let's go full Heisenberg here. Let's talk about Bryan Cranston.
Ah, Cranston.
Ooh.
I love Cranston. He's a great character actor, and for what I heard, also terrible, awesome person. Terrific, awesome person. Sorry. Like he bought ice cream for a whole family, stuff like that.
He got to the door and no one would open it because he was the one who knocks.
Okay, here's an idea. If you want to get somebody maybe a little, not necessarily younger, but somebody more closer to Benedict Cumberbatch's age, because I believe in the comics, Strange and Mordo are more or less the same age, Tom Hardy.
Hmm. Wow, I could totally see that working. Also, Tom Hardy is a great actor.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Not always well utilized, but still a great actor.
Sorry, is it not always well utilized? The first, I wanted to do a Bane voice, but I just can't do a Bane voice.
Of course.
Come on, Ricky, you can do it.
No, it sounded more like Scooby Doo.
It'd be very painful.
Permission to die.
It'd be very painful for you.
Sorry, I try it, but the last time I tried doing a Bane voice, it just turned into Dr. Frankenfurter for some reason.
Well, mine's Scooby-Doo, so you got a better result than mine.
Ruh-roh, Raggy!
So, you know, getting back on topic, Avengers Age of Ultron, I definitely will be seeing it opening night.
Oh, yeah.
I am looking forward to it. The trailer has the use of the creepy Pinocchio song, the slight horror creepy vibe that Joss Whedon put in purposefully. It all works. I'm gonna see it. Everyone else around here, opening night?
Yeah,
opening damn right.
Night, yes.
All right. Well, let's wrap up here. This your host Ben
and JT from Saskatoon.
Pablo Prino being abducted.
And we are saying good night.
So long.